Here we are in the month of November, my friend, already approaching the holiday season, and we've got Tallahassee Community Chorus to help us get everything going in the right direction. Then I've got the Junior League with me to talk about their upcoming Sunshine State Ball. That's January the 11th coming up. And then we're going to talk with Nancy Dignan about this horrific Hurricane Michael and all that is happening in recovery. You stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done. Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Welcome again, my friend. We have another exciting edition of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. In which we are decidedly diverse in this next 2 hours with all kinds of topics and cool folks who are doing some very cool things. We're going to have TC Chorus, Tallahassee Community Chorus, with us here in this hour. And I've got some very cool people there to talk about this upcoming opening performance, opening the 2018-2019 season for this world-renowned organization that just continues to astound us all at every level, you know, just in terms of the level of performance, the folks who provide leadership there, their administrative staff, and you can't even finish the sentence without mentioning Dr. Andre Thomas. However, we do have the remarkably talented, in his own right, Randall Webster, who serves dutifully as their executive director, and he is one of our guests here this morning. So we're going to welcome Randall Webster. How are you, sir?
Any better, and I couldn't stand it, Brian.
It just gets so good, right? You just feel guilty. I know. Yeah, life is good, my friend, and good on you and all of you who are bringing to us a refreshing and badly needed opening performance in which you have, you know, Bach and Messiah. This is cool. So you got Magnificat being performed. We love that. And then portions of Messiah. What a great way to start the kind of, right, the holiday season going in.
Not just the holiday season, but the general atmosphere that we're in right today. I mean, there's so many difficult things going on and pain being inflicted upon folks. And this is a very uplifting, very spiritual concert.
It really is. And it couldn't come any sooner, I think, because, or I should say, quickly enough for us in that capacity. I think we have said this oftentimes, Randall, that our town is marked by the people, right? Our greatest natural resource, the people who make Tallahassee their home. You know, I gush about this, but I think that it's deserved. It's well worth it to say that the Tallahassee Community Chorus, year in and year out, has contributed for all its many years. This now being, the 31st?
Yes, 31st.
Wow. So for 31 years, and you don't even look that old, honestly. It's remarkable.
I'm new to the game. I've been here on 3 years.
What am I thinking? I'm just going to Jan. Jan is the one who's just been there forever.
She has been, but she's finally old enough to vote. So.
Jan, we love you. Wish you were here. Wish I could be you, but you know, there's only a few, you know, great people in the world, and apparently you're one of them. We're going to introduce our other guests here who have kindly agreed to be a part of this. And among them, we have Carlton Kilpatrick. Carlton, how are you?
I'm good this morning. Thanks for having me.
Let's brag about you just a bit here. Carlton is returning to Tallahassee Community Chorus as an assistant conductor and singer. Ah, so you're getting double the wages here. That's cool.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe that.
Shows up on your
page. The wage could be negotiated.
Yeah, it's a two-liner, we call that. Okay, cool. Carlton last performed with TCC in the 2003-2005 seasons, performed Haydn's Lord Nelson Mass at Carnegie Hall with Dr. Thomas conducting. So you've been around this guy. Am I really out of my mind here thinking that we can let him retire? Are you with me in this?
Well, you know, I've been a student of his back in that time period, and I'm back in school with him. He is truly a force of nature, but he says it's time, and when he says something with authority, you have to believe it.
So you're not with me in this, then. You've given in to the dark side, man.
I'm choosing acceptance. I've been through the process of grief. I've been angry.
I feel so alone. I feel so alone in this. Carlton, I don't know. We'll talk later about that. But you have a marvelous career here at the same time, and I honestly, I mean, the accolades here are substantial. Your achievements are remarkable. Good to have you with us. And you're a doctoral student at Florida State now.
Yeah, yes, sir. I'm returning from a teaching career in Orlando, high school choral music, to earn my PhD in choral music education.
Very, very, very cool. All of my four offspring through middle school, high school, even into college, were part of choral programs, right? And so they did the annual, what am I thinking of? The trek where you go down to Tampa and
FMEA Allstate.
Yeah, Allstate. There it is. Randall, you didn't get to do this because you were like, what, in Chicago or something back in those days?
Hanging out in the joints, you know.
But these kids and you go to these Allstate programs and choirs from around Florida coming together. What a remarkable thing. And you were part of that, right?
I was really fortunate to get to serve as the president of the Florida Vocal Association, which is the overseeing body of not only Allstate, but also of what we call music performance assessment, which in the old days was called festival, but now it has to have a fancy educational name.
Of course.
So as president, I was very directly involved in that process. Yes.
How cool is that? So there you go, folks. Carlton Kilpatrick. And then, because you guys were smart, you brought the best of this trio to get with you. And her name is Lori Swanson. Hi, Lori.
Hi.
Glad to have you here. Let's brag about Lori. This is cool. She is the community relations coordinator for the Tallahassee Senior Center and Foundation. She's also a member of Sunrise Rotary. She's an ambassador for Choose Tallahassee, which is a cool thing. We've had those folks on the show. She's chair of the Chamber Leads One group, which in and of itself is formidable because there's a lot of very, very good people in that group. So, but with the Senior Center, Lori, talk about your role there. What do you do for them?
My role is to really make people in Tallahassee aware of everything that we have to offer at the Tallahassee Senior Center. Our mission is about keeping people active and engaged. And, you know, that keeps you young and involved. And, right. You know, we're thrilled to be the spotlight nonprofit for Tallahassee Community Chorus for this concert. So we feel lovely to be included, and we appreciate it very much.
You know, Randall, that is one of the hallmarks of TC Chorus. Your performances year in and year out include these partnerships.
They're organizations in the community that really bring something special to the fabric of the community. And the Senior Center is celebrating its 40th year of service, and they do terrific things. And they've been a great partner so far in helping us get the word out on the concert and let folks know when and where and how to get there.
Yeah. So as of that performance or during that performance on November the 18th, your folks will be there to greet us as we come to the theater. And this is going to be at Ruby Diamond Theater, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Concert Hall. So we can learn more about what you're doing and even find perhaps some opportunity for us to participate.
Yes, absolutely. Idea, right? We're planning to have a table there, sharing with folks the 180 different opportunities they have every single month to do something new and interesting. Very lifelong cool. learning, play the ukulele, senior singers, life exercise. Mm. There's just so many choices.
Very cool. Lori Swanson with the Tallahassee Senior Center, Carlton Kilpatrick with Tallahassee Community Chorus, and our beloved friend, mentor to many, illustrious Randall Webster, Executive Director for the Tallahassee Community Chorus. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week. Because, though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best, and I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Talking with Randall Webster, Carlton Kilpatrick, and Lori Swanson, who all are here to tell us more about this upcoming marvelous introduction to the 2018-2019 season for Tallahassee Community Chorus. Again, November the 18th, tickets are available now. This part of it is really, really easy. And boys and girls, we're going to hold hands. We're going to get this done for you. You go to tcchorus.org, and once you're at the site, you want to go to the I'm actually doing this as I tell you, so I can't be lying to you. So you go to the events. You'll see the little events tab there, and it'll bring down a drop-down menu. And then there's the 2018-2019 concert season. Click on that. This is the straightest path to you buying your tickets. And now you have this page that says "Join Us," and you'll see highlighted in red, "Click here for tickets." It works. You do that, and then you can go in and see how, you know, where the tickets are related to the seating and such, and you get various prices, anywhere from $6 looks like to $22.
We've got a chorus of over 300 people, which is the largest we've ever been.
Indeed.
And plus a full orchestra for this performance. So bringing the incredible music of Bach and Handel to the table with that presentation is just remarkable.
It is indeed. Well said, and an important point. Carlton, you think about this 300 voices, and you've made your journey back to sort of your return visit then. Have you noticed that the chorus just seems to be a lot, I don't know, some more substantial or...
Well, I think that part of the reason it's so big this year is many people are rejoining to celebrate with Dr. Thomas this last year. Messiah is actually a callback to the first concert he did with TCC when the group was created.
Wow.
Their first concert was Messiah, so that's why it's being included as the season opener this year.
Very meaningful. Yeah, even more so, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, enough of that. Let's talk about the music. And Lori, you have been a fan of this organization. I know you have. As well, and you're coming to this with this other part of the message, which is look at what Senior Center is doing for our population. Seems to be a kind of allied mission to me.
And it's interesting that you say that, because when we had our meeting, when Randall and Jan and everyone came over to take a tour and, you know, sit down and talk, we really did discover that, you know, we have a very similar mission. And, you know, it's going to be a wonderful opportunity for the Tallahassee community to come together and really share something beautiful.
Indeed.
Particularly with everything that, you know, has happened recently. So it's something that we're very proud to be a part of.
It's part of the recipe. It really is. Especially the meaning of the music. A lot of it will be sung in German, and but we'll have subtitles. And the words are so important, I think, in this these days.
Amen.
Harlan, this has got to be special for you. You know, here you are, a choral director, have done so in public school for many years, a student of the craft, devoted to continuing your education, and now you get to be a part of this. What does that feel like?
It's really a wonderful feeling. I think that TCC is an incredibly special organization. It's an entirely unauditioned community chorus. So all you have to do is walk in the door, and you can sing in the group. And that's incredibly rare. You know, you mentioned going to Jacksonville and paying $100+ for a ticket. In that instance, you're probably going to see an auditioned chorus of more professional singers. And the artistic level of TCC for an unauditioned chorus or for an auditioned chorus is just of the highest quality. In fact, the Tallahassee Community Chorus has been invited to perform at the National ACDA Convention in Kansas City with Dr. Thomas directing on the world premiere of his new Mass. And that is that's not like we auditioned to go and we got accepted. They invited us to come because of the quality and the reputation of what this chorus is doing. And I think one of the most special parts of it is that the music we're singing right now requires incredible transparency. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Thomas hones those 300 voices down to present these incredibly complex fugues and beautiful music that's in five parts in such a way that you would think you were hearing a much smaller, more refined chorus, but it's everybody from wonderful senior singers to current FSU students and even some high school students. It's representative of our whole community, and it's working at the absolute highest level. So we hope you'll come join us for the concert.
You know, if you're hearing this and you're thinking to yourself, well, I don't know. I'm not into like choirs and choral music and stuff. Well, get over yourself. Stop that. This is good for you. Okay? And no, Dr. Thomas isn't just up there waving his arms in the air. He is crafting for you something that is very rare, very special. And I've been in music all my life. My first instrument was an accordion. I was 6 years old. That's another story. We won't go there now. But, and thankfully, the accordion has gone somewhere else. However, I can tell you that having been a performer and having sung in a lot of choruses, including TC Chorus, this one, it's unmistakably rare. Carlton, you're absolutely right. There's a crafting, there's a creative aspect to this that I have not seen elsewhere. When you think about, I always think of Dr. Thomas taking this lump of clay that's been laid out there in front of him and him seeing in that what he intends to create. It's what they said about Michelangelo. You know, he could see David inside of this block of marble.
That's funny that you mention it. Dr. Thomas often speaks with his conducting students about that the rehearsal that has to be done comes from this equation of you have this imagined perfect performance, and you start where the choir actually is, and then you're just going at it until you hit as many of the details as you can, and it's an ongoing, continuous process.
Indeed.
And I also wanted to say to people that think this music is boring, come to this concert. These are two of the most exciting pieces of Baroque music.
Indeed.
And we are singing them incredibly well. There's all sorts of contrast in tempo and style. We have magnificent soloists from the FSU College of Music as well. It's going to be one that'll knock your socks off if you give it a chance.
Remarkable. Folks, it happens on November the 18th. That's a Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock, Ruby Diamond Concert Hall. Randall, final thoughts?
Go to tcchorus.org and buy your tickets because they're going fast.
They are
going
to go fast. Seating is limited, right? So you got to make sure this happens. Do it for yourself and your family, and maybe a family that you know could use a little encouragement this holiday season. TC Chorus, Tallahassee, the Tallahassee Community Chorus. And we are so proud of all that you're doing. Lori, thanks for being with us.
Very welcome.
Carlton, a pleasure meeting you.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And whoever you are, you
just call me Big Daddy.
Big Daddy.
He's the special guy here today.
Man. He is the man. Big Daddy. Randall Webster, our good friend. Folks, this is why we do what we do. You stay with me. We've got more coming up. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs, too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
In 1960, the Junior League of Tallahassee began serving as an organization of women committed to promoting volunteerism, developing the potential of women and improving communities through the effective action and leadership of trained volunteers, and contributing more than $2.5 million to the Tallahassee community. We have with us this morning representatives from the Junior League, our guests, Samantha, we've agreed on, Samantha Farron, who is Chief of Staff for the Florida Lottery, which in and of itself just takes my breath away. I don't even know where to go with that. We could talk for an hour about lottery and Bright Future scholarships and all that. But here we have Sam Farron, who is the COS for the Florida Lottery. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you with us. And Aaron Choi. Aaron, let's see. I had my notes so well organized, Aaron. Sorry. Here I go. Aaron Choi serves as the External Affairs Manager for the Agency of State Technology, which basically means if your iPhone's not working, you should blame her. I mean, just call her. No, that's not right. No, sorry. She leads all the legislative affairs and communication strategies for the state of. ASD develops statewide IT policy and oversees the state's essential technology projects, manages the state data center. Again, that's a mouthful. And yet, these people have time to devote themselves to the work of Junior League of Tallahassee. We're going to find out more about the organization and this nifty little upcoming event they're calling the Sunshine State Ball. So first of all, then, let's talk about Junior League. Rather lofty in its ambition here to contribute. Tell us about Junior League, Sam.
Thank you for having us once again.
Pleasure.
I have been a member of the Junior League now going on about 3 years. What drew me to the Junior League is the reach that it has in our community. I had grown up a dedicated volunteer. My family was in public service. Went to FSU, was very involved there. And once I transitioned into professional life, wanted to figure out how to fill that void of volunteering. And I couldn't make up my mind where I wanted to engage. Mm-hmm. And so when I came across the Junior League of Tallahassee, the women power, the commitment to our community, the commitment to training the volunteers, it really spoke to me, because what we as a league and a mission try to do is we train the women that join our ranks, and with the goal of them eventually going and joining other nonprofit organizations and leading those organizations. Mm. And so for me, that was a really powerful thing. You look around our community, and a lot of women that sit on a lot of these other nonprofit boards have come from the Junior League of Tallahassee.
So it has a kind of seminal position then, this opportunity for you to grow
exactly
leadership skills and
everything.
And that's been your experience coming through it. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah. Would you then say that Junior League has contributed sizably to your role with the lottery, for example, professionally?
It absolutely has. It absolutely has. I think both have lent itself to each of my roles as a professional and as a volunteer. Being able to hear the stories at work about the success of Bright Future Scholars is amazing. We go around the state there and we talk to children who have become Bright Future Scholars. We talk to the families and the impact there. And the same thing, you know, with volunteering here, you go into Second Harvest of the Big Bend and you go into Hope Community Shelter, the emergency women and children's shelter here in Tallahassee. And we get to work hand in hand with people who are in need of assistance. And so it's a great experience.
That's interesting, given the status of things for us post Hurricane Michael. I'm curious to hear you say that. So that Junior League isn't just coming together for a luncheon now and then. This is an organization that contributes to your development and then plugs in where needed around the community.
Absolutely. Okay. I think what you would, and what a lot of people would be surprised to say, is that I think that, Aaron, is the stat upwards of 90%. Of our women who are members of the Junior League work full time now, and so this is not, you know, the, like we always kind of joke, it's not the Junior League of our grandmother's past anymore. You know, these women are already dedicated in their professional lives, and so then they feel that need to continue helping our community.
Thinking about that from 1960 to now, Aaron. There has been certainly an advancement in the roles of women in society. That would be an understatement, I think, in every aspect, right? Even within families, women's roles have changed. Your contributions are like Samantha. You're involved in a lot of different things in addition to your career professionally. For you, the Junior League has contributed in what way?
Sure. So I moved to Tallahassee in 2006 from Washington, D.C., wanted to be closer to my family in South Florida, not having to, you know, book trips well in advance, come home for 36 hours. And finding a home in Tallahassee took me a little bit longer. I found that after about 2-3 years, when I wanted to go do something, my female friends were engaged with Junior League of Tallahassee activities. So after advancing in my career and determining that I would be staying here for a little bit longer than originally anticipated, I said, let's check out what this, you know, Junior League is all about. And I like that the Junior League of Tallahassee is focused on meeting the needs, basic needs, you know, food, clothing, and shelter. We're not trying to be everything to everyone. And I think especially since Hurricane Michael impacted the Panhandle and our sister communities, we are focused on putting that woman power and that volunteerism out in the community.
What is it that people do not understand about Junior League, or what are some of the misconceptions that you come up against?
I think Samantha touched on it a little bit ago. As you mentioned, you know, the role of women in society has evolved tremendously. And we are not sitting at, you know, tea parties with white gloves, ladies who lunch. We work outside the home. We are successful. We are innovative. We are transforming a variety of industries just here in Tallahassee in the Leon County area. And the thing about the women that are involved, whether you join when you're in your early 20s or you continue your membership, you know, well, you know, into your 50s and 60s, the breadth and the experience, the know-how, the knowledge that we're able to continue to build upon the initial foundation of what four women, you know, in a small place in Tallahassee created, I think is very exciting, and it's sustainable for the long term.
Four women got together, we'd say, I guess, in 1960, and decided this was a good idea. Why? I mean, what was their motivation? Was it the same as it is now, that they were they were looking to contribute, they were looking to help each other. What's the history there?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think those women were leaders of their time. If you think about it, you know, back in even in the 60s, you know, women's rights hadn't progressed as much as they have today. And so I think they were trying to figure out how to spend their time helping their community. How could they dedicate themselves and do more because they had more to give? Watching and being a part of this and knowing where it came from really helps. Knowing your past really helps lead your future. Mm-hmm. And I'm a very big believer in that. And so every time, you know, I need a reset. Aaron and I always joke, so you have to set expectations to manage expectations. Going back to what our roots truly are really helps me refocus on the why I do.
Interesting, too, that you folks are apolitical. I don't hear any sort of partisanship going on, which is not easy these days. I mean, really, here we are again in an election year. Here we have Aaron Choi and Samantha Farron talking with us about Tallahassee's longtime contributors to our welfare, the Junior League of Tallahassee. You stay with me. We've got more right after this.
Is there anything more Tallahassee than Tasty Pastry Bakery? More fresh, more original, more this is why I love this town, kind of delicious? I don't think so. You know, they've been in business since 1963, working through the night to be ready the next morning with muffins, coffee cakes, bread and pastries, and my personal favorite, fresh-made bagels and Lucky Goat coffee. Yeah, it helps get me out in the morning. And they deliver to the many restaurants, clubs, and coffee shops that serve their bread, muffins, and quiche. Never stuffy, never stale, just Tasty Pastry Good. It's the perfect blend of world-class talent, pure, simple ingredients, and down-home Tallahassee family tradition. Maybe they should call it Tasty Tally Bakery, but then why mess with something that's been working for 55 years? Yeah, you want something fresh and fantastic? There's a Tasty Pastry just waiting for you in the Market District on Market Street, 6:45 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. You want to know more? They're online at tastypastrybakery.com or call them at 893-3752.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back and we're talking about Junior League of Tallahassee. Interestingly, we talked a little bit earlier about some of the misconceptions. And I had this note by way of Allison Abishan, who is a very dear friend of mine now. We go maybe 10 minutes into the relationship, but that's beside the point. Junior League of Tallahassee's historic impact to help improve the lives of families. So it's interesting that it's at that level, right? The lives of families. We're not talking about some meta level. We're talking individuals. And you both said earlier, right, yeah, we're out there. If you are wearing white gloves, they're not white anymore. You get dirty. You get the dirt under the fingernails. You do what needs to be done. How does that then... is that a kind of counterpoint with this perception that, well, you know, these are all very nice ladies who, you know, have their tea parties? I mean, does that bother you? I guess it would.
No, personally, no, it doesn't bother me because I know what I do and I know my dedication. I think the only way you can get away from that sort of a stigma, if that's what you want to call it,
or misconception, is
to get out there and with your actions speak louder than words. You know, but the other thing that I think, you know, Aaron and I, with, you know, this fundraiser that we are planning for the league, you have to take a step back and look at both your short-term and your long-term solutions. I think a lot of what we do and what is visible every single day are helping with those short-term solutions, helping the second harvest of the Big Bend, helping Hope Community with, you know, with their long list of needs that they have. But you also have to take a step back, and in order for us to continue sustaining, we have to have a plan for the long term to help eradicate the root causes of issues.
As you're forming that plan, do you guys meet regularly? You have like weekly or monthly meetings of the league?
We do. So yeah. Our general membership meets once a month, and it's a couple hundred women. But individually, we have committees and other type leadership councils that meet more regularly to fulfill their charge and mission for their respective projects.
And in that capacity, there are activities within the organization for your members. Talk about that a bit.
Sure. We have, like Aaron mentioned, we have multiple types of committees within the league. And there are multiple ways for our women to engage, everything from shifts, volunteering up to 4 hours a day at Second Harvest. We have multiple shifts a week for Hope Community as well. And they range, specific to Hope. We've done multiple Saturday service projects, whether that was helping, clear the grounds, outside, to standing shifts to read bedtime stories to the children.
Cool. Wow. And that in and of itself is contributive to the individual's growth, right, as a person. I think you also are known for bringing guest speakers, and there's a kind of professional development side to this, right, Erin?
Sure. The last handful of years, we've really expanded upon the Leadership Development and Training Council. Mm. So as Samantha touched on earlier, not only are we training our women to be volunteers in our organization and other organizations and nonprofits that we work with, but what are the tangible life skills that we all should know, whether it's, finance, public speaking, a variety of different issues that you can get a certification on, ongoing education, and building out those programs. So we started that a few years ago, and it's been very beneficial. Again, because going back to the stereotype or the misconception of the Junior League, it's not all about the social, it's about tangible life training that will lead you far into the future, past your tenure with the Junior League.
Right, so you've busted through that country club sort of way of thinking. And it's not at all that. It's really about figuring out individually what you want to do to contribute. And then the league is here to say, well, we got lots of ways to help you get there.
Absolutely.
Very cool. All right. But you don't take guys, right? It's just the women. So I wouldn't be able to, join.
You can come and attend any shift you'd like.
Okay, well, I'm just saying there might be need for that in my life, right? Professional development, right, Aaron? It's okay. Let's move on. Tell us about this fundraiser. The fact that you really are self-reliant in this respect. You don't look for third-party funding as such, I guess. Or is that how you fund yourself? Do you have grant money that comes in? Okay, so tell us about that.
So we do have a wonderful woman on our development team who is our grants chair. Mm. She has a lot of experience in it. And so we do apply for any grants that would benefit our community. And so that is something that we do work
so
on.
So that money comes in and then is funneled out to
our community
needs
partners.
At hand. I
Absolutely.
Got you. Then comes the fundraising side, and that's why we want to talk about the upcoming Sunshine State Ball, which was your idea, the two of you? Like, you got together for drinks one night and...
with our white gloves.
Yeah. With your white gloves and your straw hats and...
So, right. Aaron, I think if you want to speak to the history of, kind of where
sure.
this has come from.
Yeah.
Sure. So, being in a very unique position in the state's capital, we have not always... again, pun intended, capitalized and leveraged our unique position. There are a variety, hundreds of different associations, nonprofits, groups who come to the Capitol and advocate for a variety of public policy issues, yet we're sitting here and we don't, tell our story as we should. So after years of research, discussions with our board and management team, bringing it to the general membership last spring, they decided to move forward with having this inaugural Sunshine State Ball to celebrate the contributions of the Junior League of Tallahassee to Florida's capital city. The celebration will be everything that makes Tallahassee and this area a great place to work, to live, to raise a family, but focused on the volunteer contributions that the Junior League has made for, you know, nearly 60 years.
And if you think about it, you know, touching on what Aaron said, a lot of these folks who come, the associations, the members, they come and they essentially live in our city for a good portion of the year as they're doing their work in the Capitol and they're advocating and they're, you know, creating policy. And so to be able to share a bigger part of our community and, you know, what the needs are, what the Junior League has done, not only does it help, obviously, our city here, but we hope that this is a launching pad for all of the other junior leagues across the state. And there's about 22 leagues across the state. And so when these members and these folks from the associations go back home to their communities, they can think to call upon the Junior League for any issues that they may have.
Okay. And as I understand it, tickets are on sale now, and they will be in high demand, I would guess. So wouldn't be a bad idea to go ahead and get those tickets because they may be going fast.
Absolutely.
Right?
Purchase your tickets at sunshinestateball.com.
Oh, you're so clever. Sunshinestateball.com. See, you were thinking of guys like me when you did that, right? He won't remember.
Simple.
I do
first
simple so
Google
well.
Search.
Yes. This is January the 11th, 2019. And it says right here on my paper, celebrating everything that makes Florida the best place to live, work, and raise a family, along with the volunteer work that strengthens communities. Yeah. Thank you for all that Junior League does and what you're doing to bring the Sunshine State Ball to us here coming up in January. Folks, again, you can learn more about this, sunshinestateball.com. Our guests this morning, Samantha Farron and Aaron Choi, Junior League of Tallahassee. Thank you, friends.
Thank you.
Folks, you stay with me. I've got more coming up after the top of the hour. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
At Gain Street Pies, their sauce is no secret. In fact, just about everybody knows their imported San Marzano pizza sauce has made them famous. Two Tallahassee guys wanting to make the best pizza in town. They mashed flavors together that had never been seen on a pizza before, and they just kept working until they had the very best. Using all fresh ingredients, real sliced bacon, fresh made ranch, and homemade meatballs. Recipe by recipe. So less than a year later, they opened Midtown Pies on 5th Avenue in Midtown. Now they're opening their third location on Capitol Circle Northeast at Easterwood. Two guys who got famous by making great pizza with San Marzano sauce and the best ingredients. And made it great for all of us who really want the best pizza in town. Check it out. Gain Street Pies, now with three locations. Who knows? Maybe you'll get famous. Online at GainStreetPies.com.
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Well, here we are in the second hour of Tallahassee Talks, your faithful companion here, trying to do my best to bring you all that is cool and exciting and uplifting and informative around the region, around this fair town of ours, Tallahassee, that of late has, man, has really taken it on the chin from this overwhelmingly devastating hurricane. Nancy Dignon's with me in this hour. Now, many of you know her for her rather substantial career as a meteorologist, educator, just a good, all-around good person and remarkably astute when it comes to such things as predicting the weather, which, of course, is not the easiest job in the world. But you're going to enjoy, I think you'll find very interesting and compelling her remarks, especially when it comes to what she saw developing in the early stages of Hurricane Michael, long before it had reached us, coming up through the Gulf. And this was as of that prior weekend, that Saturday, Sunday. And remarking then, this thing's going to come at us and it's going to be strong. It'll in her words, it'll blow out, I think is the expression. Anyway, Nancy Dignon with me to talk about that and what's going on in the aftermath of the hurricane and all that is being done. I have to say, my friend, if you're one of those volunteers that's been out there doing whatever you can, donating, giving of your time, delivering goods and providing much needed resources. God bless you for that. From around this region, we are hearing cries of need for help. Even as of this morning, you can go online and find, I'm certain, dozens. I've counted about two dozen different places, online sites where you can donate, calls for things as simple as blankets. Now that the weather is going to be cooling, you got families without shelter. They got children who need covering. They need blankets and clothes and school supplies. Now, some of the more extended needs that a family has as you go through such a thing, it is the tragedy of our time, and it is commendable that our community, Tallahassee, has responded with such vigor. And again, God bless you if you're one of those folks. And if you're looking for ways that you can help, well, I've got a list of those things that I'm going to bring to you here in just a moment. I will tell you that we're doing what we can to encourage all of those who have given of their time and talent, even those who have put their lives at risk, the men and women of this community who have gone out there on the line to keep us safe, all of the first responders, all of the utility personnel, including all of the administrators. You know, one of the things that Nancy and I were talking about that you'll hear her talk about here shortly has to do with those serving us whose families themselves are then in need of assistance, hers being one of those. Her husband is a sheriff's deputy, Leon County Sheriff's Office. You know, and he had to take care of business, so he's out there caring for us. Meanwhile, his home and his neighbors are in need as well. So they get caught in that sort of unenviable sort of dilemma. You know, where do I go? And more often, these folks put the needs of others ahead of their own and their own families. It's astounding. Anyway, we have launched and invite you to participate in this Hurricane Michael Hometown Heroes tribute. And what we've done is created radio messages that we're broadcasting across the region, and you can help us deliver that message with your support. Then you have the Project Rebuild 850, which was actually fostered by Alan Bentz and Will Weatherford, Florida House speakers, and former Florida House speakers, Alan Bentz and Will Weatherford, have come together to create this effort, keeping the needs of families in the panhandle front and center. The group issued a challenge for individuals, businesses, and organizations to donate, volunteer, visit, and invest to help the region. So you can find out there how much more you can do to get involved. Go to rebuild850.org. So lots of ways in which this community is responding in substance and in sentiment. Here's another mention that I wanted to bring to your advice or to your attention. Media advisory. This is headliners to honor veterans. Okay, so this is coming by way of the Florida Veterans Foundation. Veteran advocates and honorary chairs General Robert Milligan, former comptroller for the state of Florida, and legendary coach Bobby Bowden didn't hesitate when asked to help honor our veterans at the upcoming Florida Veterans Foundation 10th anniversary celebration. This is coming up November 15th at the Doubletree by Hilton downtown. Charlie Barnes, the former executive director for the Seminole Boosters, will be the master of ceremonies. This is a great opportunity for us to say thanks to all the vets out there. The event will help raise awareness, and it'll help raise funds for the foundation to help aging veterans. Again, that's on November the 15th. At the Doubletree Inn. You can find out more if you go to getvettickets.com. Simple enough, getvettickets.com. Florida Veterans Foundation is a nonprofit charity. Here we have, let's see, another one here for American Legion to honor veterans at their 7th annual Operation Thank You. And it's continuous
and long tradition of supporting local veterans, Leon County has partnered with American Legion Saul's Bridges Post 13 to host the Operation Thank You Veterans Day Breakfast. And that's coming up this Monday, November the 12th. And, of course, the 11th, tomorrow, is officially Veterans Day. We celebrate on the 12th because the 11th falls on a Sunday. But if you recall, the 11th of November originally was Armistice Day and then declared to be Veterans Day some many years later. So with Veterans Day coming Monday from 6:30 in the morning until 9 a.m., you can go and enjoy a Veterans Day breakfast there at the American Legion Hall out on Lake Ella Drive, right next to Lake Ella. So you want to make sure and do that. And let's see what else we got here. Ah, here's an encouraging thought, considering all the trees we've lost of late. Leon County has fostered this Adopt a Tree program. Leon County is offering three different native trees for you to adopt and plant at your home. So if you lost a tree in your neighborhood or at your home, you can get a free one, a little baby one that you can get from the county in, under this Adopt a Tree program. And they have a holly tree, a birch tree, or a nuthull oak. So there you go. How cool is that? And these are beautiful trees, by the way, if you're not familiar with these species. You can find out more if you go to talgov.com and then /adopt a tree. talgov.com/adopt a tree. There you go. Lots of ways to help us all better feel good about this here town. We've got some guests coming up that are going to do just the same for you. With all of that coming your way, I want to remind you that Tallahassee Talks is here every week to bring you the very coolest things going on around town. We talk with the very coolest people doing these things, and it's our pleasure to do so. You can find out more about us if you go to TallahasseeTalks.com. Stay with me.
The holidays are coming. Well, in a few months, and that's why now is the time to shower up with a beautiful custom bath or shower enclosure from Widden Glass. Don't wait for the holiday rush. Widden Glass will take care of you this summer to your complete satisfaction. They've been helping to design and install bath and shower enclosures for Tallahassee homeowners for over 70 years. When you call Widden Glass, you're dealing with real glass people, experienced, reliable professionals. Widden's top-of-the-line bath and shower enclosures provide style and luxury at an affordable price. With the holidays coming, that means family, and that means now is the time to shower up with style.
Call today, Widden Glass, the real glass people, 222-5781, or online at widdenglass.com, W-H-I-D-D-O-N. Widden, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945, 222-5781.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Nancy Dignon, originally from New York, earned a bachelor's degree in meteorology at SUNY Oneonta. That's the State University of New York at Oneonta. Is that right? Oneonta,
that
right?
That is Oneonta, yes.
Yes, and she came to Tallahassee by way of a scholarship at FSU, earning her master's degree in meteorology. Began a broadcasting career at WCTV as the weekend meteorologist, and she is our guest this morning. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you, Brian?
Thanks for being here.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here.
Hurricane seasoned you are. I have to say, in addition to what I've told the brought to us as to your background educationally and professionally, you served well the viewers of WTWC NBC for a number of years, and then at WTXL, you were the chief meteorologist there, and got through the hurricane seasons 04 and 05, which, if you don't recall, were pretty rigorous, right?
Yes.
We're going to talk a little bit about some of your career experiences. Maintained your position as professor of meteorology at Tallahassee Community College, taught meteorology there, earth science courses. But I guess we've just sort of adopted you, not a native, but this is home.
Yeah, I've lost my accent, too. My family thinks I now have a Southern accent, but...
Well, the only test there is whether grits is a two-syllable word or one-syllable. See, if you're griots, then it's pretty much a Southern thing. And you're married to Ted, who is a sheriff deputy with Leon County Sheriff's Office, and God bless him for his service to our community, and a proud mom dog to two Westie puppies, Fenway and Shea.
Shea,
I beg your pardon. Tributes to the Boston Red Sox and New York Mets. On this occasion, here we have you talking with us about recent events. Where do you start when you talk about Hurricane Michael? Let's get to some of that, some of the basic facts, I guess.
Okay.
We know that Hurricane Michael broke a lot of records. Mm-hmm. What do you see immediately when you think of what happened?
I want to remind folks about. It was a potential tropical cyclone, and that's how it was, not sold, but this is how it was graphically displayed by the Hurricane Center. And this is, let's see, it hadn't developed over the weekend. Friday, you know, something was going to be out there. We were watching the graphics. Saturday, still indication it's going to develop. On Sunday, the graphics are coming. Potential tropical cyclone. And this thing is going to hit on Wednesday. So you have to realize the Hurricane Center did a phenomenal job. They knew there was something in that area, the conditions would come together. And on Friday, and I'm not blowing my own horn, it was just a conversation I had with my husband, and it's a conversation we have at our house. I will always say out loud, Ted, you're my witness, just so I want him to remember I said it. Because people say, oh yeah, you said it. No, I really did say it. And I said, this thing is going to blow. And I said, it's going to move over what we call the loop current. It's in the southeastern Gulf of Mexico. And I said to him, it's the same thing that Katrina moved over. And, you know, I think he listens with half an ear, as a man, you know.
Well, hey, wait a minute. I have been schooled in this. Now, I'm doing better at listening to my wife. But
well,
anyway, go ahead.
He remembered that. And a lot of the guys that he works with will call him or make contact. What is your wife thinking? What is your wife thinking? Because not that I'm bold.
Well, see, now that's not very nice. But the men don't handle that part very well, I have to admit.
But you are
the professional here.
Well, and I think they realize that. And I've had some good success with them. But so this is, you know, Friday, I said it to him. Saturday, still watching. Sunday, we're watching, and now it's coming.
And your message was, this thing isn't close to being finished yet.
It hadn't even started at that point. Yeah. But there's that warm pocket of water right there in the southeastern Gulf. Mm. And it's, you know, it's the area of development. And sure enough, it started to get its act together. It moved across. And as it's lifting away, this thing is just blowing up.
And for those of us who are still learning this part of the whole science, right, warmer water means more energy, more power being thrust into this storm.
That's the fuel.
Because of the way in which such things occur anyway, right?
Yes.
I think this goes back to my fourth grade science trainings. When you have warm air, it wants to go up.
Yes.
And it pushes away then the cold air that wants to come down. So you get this cycle then, the circulation of air.
Mm-hmm.
And the more heat you've got involved, the faster that all happens, right?
Right.
Is
and
that
think
fair?
Of it like an engine. You know,
you push on the gas.
Push it in. And like you say, warm air is going to rise, then make room for the, you know, waste air. So as it's rising, it's got to push out in the upper levels. It's got to feed in, move up, move out. There's that whole three-dimensional engine running.
And because it is in the northern hemisphere, it moves in a counterclockwise fashion, forming this eye. And I'm really getting out there beyond.
No, but you have it. You're right.
Okay. So I'm in the weeds here. You looked at that and went, mm-mm. I mean, and you saw it from the eyes of a meteorologist who's saying, Ted, I'm telling you right now, this is going to be bad.
Because it would come together well, and there was not as much lead time as some of the previous storms. Think about. And we were talking about this in the lobby, Irma. Irma was the one that kind of got us all very nervous because we had too much time. Labor Day weekend, saw it out there, and we had some time off. We started buying supplies. And then we had to wait a whole week. before it would kind of head its way toward us. And so that week, do I have enough water? And all of a sudden, I needed 12 cases of water. I've never had to buy water before in my life, but I needed extra water. And the panic started to build.
Uh-huh.
And it hit the crescendo when I think Tallahassee had the hurricane warning, and then they said it was a voluntary evacuation. And people are hitting me up and saying, what are you doing? Are you going? Are you evacuating? Are you staying? I'm staying. I have a house. I have a husband, and we had dogs. So, I was here, and I felt like my house was a safe place to be.
Right.
And with that comfort, I would stay. But if you didn't feel that, I would tell people to go. And so there was so much lead time with Irma. But then this year, we've got a hurricane that's going to develop. Hadn't done it yet.
Right.
It's going to come quickly.
Right.
And we don't have that kind of window. It hadn't even formed on Sunday, and it's going to hit on Wednesday. And think about it. Monday, all of a sudden, the schools are making decisions like, okay, we're closing.
Wow.
We're going to close for the rest of the week.
Wow. Yeah.
But it was well forecast. It came together exactly the way they thought it would, and I think people responded appropriately.
So, well, folks, there it is in kind of a capsulated fashion, this series of events. I've got Nancy Dignon with me. We're going to continue this conversation. You stay right where you are. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Supersigns. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Supersigns is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Supersigns. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Supersigns does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs, too. So for your business or your birthday party, Supersigns is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Supersigns is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're talking with Nancy Dignon.
Yeah. We didn't see much of a cool down at all. No real fall weather, so the Gulf is holding that heat. You know, and that's the fuel, and that's all it needed. And, you know, like you said, small windows. And the only thing that I think protected Tallahassee and Leon County a little bit was the fact that the eye wall was small. Hmm. We knew it was going to head this way. In fact, the tracks had it coming our way.
Right at
there
us.
Was no, you know, oscillation in that. It was on target right away. But the fact that the hurricane force winds would extend out 35 miles. And tropical storm force winds outside of that, but Tallahassee is about 96 from Panama City.
Mm.
So you don't want to breathe a sigh of relief, mm-hmm. but to some extent we're like, okay,
mm-hmm.
well,
mm-hmm.
but think about what happened, and we didn't get hurricane force winds. And
indeed.
I mean, that's so amazing at
indeed.
The same time.
Indeed.
Yeah.
In fact, somebody had said to me that evening, I think, or maybe the next morning, so that would have been Thursday,
right?
You know, had this thing jogged even 30, 40 miles in our direction, we would have found a much more serious set of circumstances, even as serious as it was here for Tallahasseans. You've been doing this a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You have been reporting the weather, studying the weather. In your recollection, even including Irma and others, how was this different for you, this experience?
Yeah, I come from the professor background, but one of the first things I ask students the first day of class, have you been through a major hurricane? I'd never been through a major hurricane before. It was my first,
really?
As long as I've been doing this. Because in Tallahassee, we've always been lucky. We really have. We'd get the offshoots of a hurricane elsewhere, mm-hmm. so by the time it hit us, it was a tropical storm. You know, you have to go back to 85. For the last landfalling hurricane, Kate.
Yeah.
And so we hadn't had anything. And then I think even when, you know, Irma got close last year, again, we were fortunate.
Yeah.
It stayed to our east.
Yeah.
We barely had some of the glancing blow of it. And we were really very lucky with that. But this one didn't change.
Mm.
And it held, it came, and, it blasted us and moved through kind of in a hurry. But that was the first. And, you know, when people were talking about major hurricane. So that's a Category 3 or higher, 111 mile an hour. Winds are stronger than that. And Panhandle had never had that. And certainly not in October. You know, normally we're at a cool down and, you know, it's all different. So this, like you said, right in the beginning, this was a record-setting hurricane. Third lowest pressure at landfall in history. Third lowest. And that's behind Andrew and Katrina.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that in and of itself says a lot then about the force, doesn't it? The air pressure involved, the lower it is, again, it's like this, like a supercharger on an engine, right?
Absolutely.
It's just forcing that air through there.
Yeah.
When we talk about your role, one of the things that I've noticed, you have this remarkably substantial online following. People still want to know what Nancy is saying about this storm. And both my wife and I benefited from what you were doing on Facebook, using that as a means to not only deliver information, but providing some of that guidance and some of that, we'll call it sensible sort of communication. Say, hey, calm down. We're going to get through this together. What inspires you to do that? I mean, that's a pretty unique role for you to play, I think.
It was interesting. Again, we had not really had that kind of interaction in a long time with a hurricane, but then in 16, Hermine came. As it was approaching, it's my buddy Tran Bowie, who was a co-anchor at Channel 40.
Yeah, I remember.
And she's up in Atlanta now, and she called immediately. She goes, "This is it." I said, "I was thinking, but I wasn't really sure." "You got to do it. You got to do it." And I said, "Okay, I'll do the first one." And, you know, she and I were on the same wavelength. And I said, "I'll do the first one. Watch. Let me know what you think." Because she's always a producer, always in my ear. If I had my IFB, I'd hear her talking about it. And so I did the first one, and I think I was a little nervous about it. Not sure where I was going with it, but pretty quickly I knew what my role would be. I'd have all the time in the world. I could sit there, you could pop in a question, and if I could read it, I could answer it. And so this is more of an interaction that, you know, the TV stations can't do. Because they, you know, they have limited time, they don't have that capability. And they're doing it for a larger audience. My audience is whoever wants to be with me on that ride at that point. And even in the aftermath, I could get people to do it. So I quickly made everything public, and she's calling back, "This is great. You got to keep doing it." So as they kept coming and the storm kept coming, and, you know, I thought, okay, this is one way I could address it. So that was what I thought my role was in the beginning. And It was a great feedback. It was so many people saying, "Oh, you comforted me," or you know, like you said, made some sense of it. But I was trying to give them wisdom from the other side, not with a camera and, you know, "Here's how I'm going to do this" in the professional sense. Not that it was unprofessional. I mean, it was damn nerdy. If you watched, I've got an iPad, a computer, and my phone. My phone is my camera. My iPad is, you know, down and dirty, and then I'm scrolling and trying to hold. And there was something neat about that, though, the fact that it was right there in
it's
my house.
It's organic. Yeah. It's very real, very human, and very timely, and remarkably engaging, because you're using the technologies that we use every day. Facebook and, you know, FaceTime has all become part of our daily reality when it comes to any kind of communication. And I think to have seized on that, and you say, well, you know, not that it was unprofessional, but I think what you bring to us is something that's very connected. When you're watching a professionally produced broadcast on television, or even something that's been produced, let's say, and is being presented on YouTube as a video.
It
doesn't have the same sort of tangibility, I guess. Is that a right word? It's not as tactile for me. You were responsive. You know, you said you were answering questions, but you were also in real time providing us that sort of observation. I guess I got the feeling as though we were going through this very scary house, you know, and you were the guide here. You're going to lead us through this thing.
Well, I'm a daredevil, so it worked.
Get through it together. Well, it helps to have a sheriff deputy who is your husband.
Well, and the other side of it is I tried to comfort people in getting them to, you know, you get comfortable. You talk about outside things. So I would start off a conversation with, "All right, I just came back from the gym. I'm a mess. You know, my hair was in a ponytail and I had a t-shirt. And so then the conversation started with, what are you wearing? People would chime in, but you could relax thinking about something else instead of focusing on the weather at that point.
We are still going to talk further about the long-term impact of this storm. The human toll alone is just staggering. Mm-hmm. Your husband and you both have been in, we'll call it generally, public service, I think, for a number of years. He's out there putting his butt on the line every day for us. I can't imagine what these families would have done without law enforcement, first responders, linesmen, the utility personnel, and all of the back office, all of the leadership involved, city, county, state. It's astounding how much of that came together. And then the volunteers. I don't think I've ever seen an outpouring of volunteerism as significant as we have in the last couple of weeks.
I would agree with you on that. Quick story here. When Hermine came, my husband was, they do Alpha Bravo, they call it. So they do 12-hour shifts, 12 hours on, 12 hours off, and all leave time is canceled. And he felt awful, and so did Jim next door, because Amy and I have a chainsaw, and I'm dangerous, but I'm out there, and we're cutting it up, and my neighbors helped, and we schlepped all that to the front, and then we had the rest of it done. So people are doing jobs, and they have to do their jobs, and you have to kind of
take care of their own families.
And sometimes you can't, and you can't even imagine how uneasy they were, both men, that they had to be at work and they had no idea. And you know, when we finally cleaned it all up, and he said, "Well, we're taking care of it." I'm like, "No," I said, "It's in our yard." And he said, "Look, you guys did all the work." He said, "Wow. I'm just coming in and cutting it up later."
Wow.
It just, and I know I digressed off of what you
had
asked there.
Well, no, but this is exactly the story here, because, in fact, there are so many layers to this story, and you've helped us better appreciate one of those layers, and it's the families of all of those who are on the front lines. Folks, I've got Nancy Dignon here talking about Hurricane Michael, and we're going to continue this conversation. Stay with me.
Is there anything more Tallahassee than Tasty Pastry Bakery? More fresh, more original, more this is why I love this town kind of delicious? I don't think so. You know, they've been in business since 1963, working through the night to be ready the next morning with muffins, coffee cakes, bread and pastries, and my personal favorite, fresh-made bagels and Lucky Goat coffee. Yeah, it helps get me out in the morning. And they deliver to the many restaurants, clubs, and coffee shops that serve their bread, muffins, and quiche. Never stuffy, never stale, just Tasty Pastry good. It's the perfect blend of world-class talent, pure, simple ingredients, and down-home Tallahassee family tradition. Maybe they should call it Tasty Tally Bakery, but then why mess with something that's been working for 55 years? You know, you want something fresh and fantastic? There's a Tasty Pastry just waiting for you in the Market District on Market Street, 6:45 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. You want to know more? They're online at tastypastrybakery.com or call them at 893-3752.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
And I saw people who otherwise usually don't get along very well in most ways coming together and helping out, donating food and water. That isn't over, is it? We're going to be seeing this for a while.
I think so. You know, and rattle through the effects. First, the hurricane hits. You got a storm surge at the coast. You have the wind. You have the rainfall. You have all that with physical damage. Property, houses, beaches. And then it kept going, like you said. Imagine a tornado, and because that really was what it was like. Imagine a tornado, but over, let's say, 12 hours instead of the 15 minutes
and
that they typically last.
A couple hundred miles wide.
Yes, yes, that was the difference. So there's that swath of damage. Then you take it inland, and you don't have the storm surge. You still have the wind damage. You still have the rainfall. And then you add, like you say, the farm damage. So we've got farmers in South Georgia and, you know, even through northern parts of Georgia and into the Carolinas experiencing damage, and it's the crops are lost. So there's their income. Then they have to, you know, redo whatever they were going to plan, and maybe they have to change that because, you know, the crops were lost completely, so maybe they have to reevaluate what they're doing. It is so comprehensive. And I think, at least for me, I was thinking, we're so lucky. We're so lucky. I had prepared. I always tell people, prepare for the worst, hope for the best. We had prepared for the worst.
Right.
We were very fortunate. Right. And so I think a lot of us were thinking, you know what? I didn't have to deal with anything. Let me help where I can.
Yeah.
And so this is where you see people, you know, digging their heels in. Okay, I've got this. I'm going here. I've got this. I'm going to bring that there.
Right.
How many collection sites there are. It's a proud moment as, you know, somebody that lives here. It's so nice to see our community stepping up for that.
Stepping up and crossing over lines.
I think we've realized, okay, you know what? They all don't, you know, roll around us. We can have the impact. We have had the impact, you know, three years in a row. And I think that recognizing all of that, I think there's a maturity that we've adapted to. And, you know, the only thing I heard people complain, when are they going to pick up the debris? If that is the worst of our problems.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, sometimes it was tough to navigate the roads. But I think we've reconciled ourselves with the fact that, you know, we know these are things that we may have to be dealing with. On an annual basis, like some of the other communities.
And remarkably, the county and city officials have done their job, I think, and they've grown up in this thing. You know, we want all of us to be better prepared. I think they're better prepared. And even as of this week, there was this general forum that was held by county to come together with the general public so that people could ask questions.
Right.
So they're not done with that process by any means. Our own promotion, Tallahassee Prepared, is part of that ongoing stay prepared for severe weather. The fact that we have had people from outside of our communities, in my neighborhood, I have new friends that live in Texas because these guys drove, you know, 14 hours and had a dozen trucks with them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they work for a utility company out there in Denton, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in my neighborhood fixing my lights. And the one guy looked at me and said, yeah, see, because maybe someday it'll be our turn and we'll need somebody to come help us.
Yes.
I wonder if Tallahassee has come to realize that we're not just isolated here, that we really are part of something much, much bigger than what we think ourselves to be.
Yeah, I think it's bigger than us. I think there's a learning curve. I think we certainly have learned. We have responded better. You know, nobody wants to be without power, but they did an awesome job at making sure that we had everybody on standby. Those that were coming to help us, they were here in no time. My sister was here just a couple of weeks ago, and she came down for the Wake Forest game. And she had a friend. Her friend is in Pennsylvania. Her husband was coming to help. And they had posted a picture on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And there he was, you know, helping to get the power up and running in Tallahassee. But there's that nice sense of community. We helped others. They help us.
I want to commend you again, not to embarrass you, but I think you have done a remarkable job in being a part of that larger solution. And for those of us who would like to stay in touch with you, I guess you have, tell us about what you have available so we can find you online and maybe we can follow you better. What's a good way to do that?
I have changed nothing, so I don't have clever little nicknames. It's Nancy Dignan everywhere. So I do have a Facebook, there's Twitter, there's Instagram. When the hurricanes are coming, I make everything on Facebook public.
I got you.
This way, people can share. And I know that you and Annette were, you know, really attuned to that. And so you were sharing it, just trying to get the message out. Last year, there were 20,000 views of some of those videos that I posted, which was crazy. But the reach was fantastic.
Yeah.
We had a whole state that was watching. And it really is just to make sure people have information and answers to questions, whether I'm pregnant, I'm in my last trimester, what do I do?
Wow.
Or do I need to evacuate? Just whatever it is, I try to respond to each and every one unless they're being silly, and
then
I'll just ignore it. But it just there needs to be information shared.
And as a meteorologist, as a professional, you have access to a lot of that information that is current. I mean, it's standard now, but 5 years ago even, you find that there's an acceleration of that kind of data that you have available to you to help us?
I think I just know it a little bit better. It's, you know, it's my expertise, my master's degree, my dissertation that I wrote was Numerical Experimentation in Tropical Cyclogenesis.
Ah.
So I've done hurricanes.
That was going to be my topic.
I knew you were going to pick it, so I wanted to steal it ahead of time. But this has always been my expertise, and so I have followed it. And, you get well-versed with the material, the resources that are out there. And most of the guys at the Hurricane Center were in grad school with me, so I know them and I know what
you
they're capable of.
On.
Yes.
Yeah. In fact, when I look in your direction, and I think this is true for a lot of us who have known you for the many years that you have served the community in this capacity, there is that level of trust. I don't question whether or not maybe you're just not seeing the numbers quite right. And you said earlier, you were telling Ted, this is going to come at us.
When they tend to move toward the coast, the flow, you know, like you said, counterclockwise. So the outer bands would start impinging on the coast. That would offer friction in my mind because
right.
all the other ones had. That would start to
slow it down.
It would decrease horizontally. It would start to, you know, decrease the wind speed.
None of that happened.
Yeah, it said, no, Nancy, I'm doing whatever I want.
Yeah.
And the fact that the winds went up by 5 miles per hour when it made landfall is unheard of.
What? Yeah. Again, because of the higher surface temperatures.
Yeah, that had a great role in it. Plus, you know, it's so shallow there. There's no place for the water to go. So the Gulf Coast hurricanes have a higher storm surge.
Not a whole lot of mountain ranges in that vicinity.
No.
Nope.
Well, and on the Atlantic side, at least the shelf is deeper. A storm surge there has room for the water to move. It's not as high.
But on the Gulf Coast,
it's shallow, it's marshy, the water comes in, and the water level rises.
Nancy Dignan, my friends, she is a keeper, and we need to keep her around us because she helps keep us from harm's way when it comes down to severe weather and such things as major hurricanes, as has been Hurricane Michael. Nancy, we love you. Thanks for being there for all of us, and we're going to keep an eye on you, and you keep an eye on the weather.
I will. And thank you for having me.
We'll stay tuned.
This is fun.
Well, a tough topic, but you bring it to us as you do so often in a more human way, in a more accessible way. Folks, it's what we do here. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny every week just for you. We are the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat. You can find Moose Magnificat online, moosemagnificat.com. Bringing all of Tallahassee's local musicians playing their original songs. Moose Magnificat Online Radio. We will be back again next week. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
At Gain Street Pies, their sauce is no secret. In fact, just about everybody knows their imported San Marzano pizza sauce has made them famous. Two Tallahassee guys wanting to make the best pizza in town. They mashed flavors together that had never been seen on a pizza before, and they just kept working until they had the very best. Using all fresh ingredients, real sliced bacon, fresh-made ranch, and homemade meatballs. Recipe by recipe. So, less than a year later, they opened Midtown Pies on 5th Avenue in Midtown. Now they're opening their third location on Capitol Circle Northeast at Easterwood. Two guys who got famous by making great pizza with San Marzano sauce and the best ingredients, and made it great for all of us who really want the best pizza in town. Check it out. Gain Street Pies, now with three locations. Who knows? Maybe you'll get famous. Online at GainStreetPies.com.